Prometheus is famous for a couple of seemingly unrelated stories. One, the gift of fire to mankind, and two, being chained to a rock where every day an eagle came to eat his liver. There is a connection, however, and one that shows why Prometheus, the father of the Greek Noah, was called the benefactor of mankind. So let's get started. Zeus sent most of the Titans to Tartarus to punish them for fighting against him and the Titan Omaki. But since second-generation Titan, Prometheus, had not sided with his aunts and uncles and brother Atlas, Zeus spared him. Zeus then assigned Prometheus the task of forming man from water and earth, which Prometheus did, but in the process became fonder of men than Zeus had anticipated. Zeus didn't share Prometheus' feelings and wanted to prevent men from having power, especially over fire. Prometheus cared more for men than for the wrath of the increasingly powerful and autocratic king of the gods. So he stole fire from Zeus's lightning, concealed it in a hollow stalk of fennel, and brought it to man. Prometheus also stole skills from Hephaestus and Athena to give man. As an aside note, Prometheus and Hermes, considered trickster gods, both have a claim to the gift of fire. Hermes is credited with discovering how to produce it. The next stage in Prometheus' career as the benefactor of mankind came when Zeus and he were developing the ceremonial forms for animal sacrifice. The astute Prometheus devised a surefire way to help man. He divided the slaughtered animal parts with two packets. In one was the ox meat and innards wrapped up in stomach lining, and the other packet were the ox bones wrapped up in its own rich fat. One would go to the gods, and the other to the humans making the sacrifice. Prometheus presented Zeus with a choice between the two, and Zeus took the deceptively richer appearing, the fat encased but inedible bones. So next time someone says, "Don't judge a book by its cover," you may find your mind wandering to this cautionary tale. As a result of Prometheus' trick forever after, whenever man sacrificed to the gods, he would be able to eat the meat so long as he burned the bones as an offering for the gods. He bade Hermes chain Prometheus to Mount Caucasus, where an eagle slash vulture ate his ever-regenerating liver each day. Eventually, Hercules rescued Prometheus, and Zeus and the Titan were reconciled. Moving on from the stories of Prometheus and now to the man spider named Ansi from the African trickster story myths. I'm really excited about this one because Ansi is a very clever spider, so let's get started. Once in a before time, Anansi was walking far into the bush. Soon, he came to a house with a very, very, very old man sitting aside the mouth of the front door. The old man looked like skin and dry bones. Anansi gathered up his courage and said, "Good day, sir. I've been walking all morning and would love to have a cool drink of ice water." However, the old man said nothing. Anansi, who thought the old man might have been deaf, walked closer to the seated figure and repeated in a loud voice, "I said, good morning, sir. May I have a drink of water?" Nevertheless, the old man said nothing. Anansi scratched his head and said, "Oh, you said to go inside the house and help myself?" The old man still said nothing to Anansi. Anansi walked past the old man and went into his house, and not only helped himself to ice-cold water, but to as much as food as he could eat. When he had finally finished eating, Anansi went outside to see the old man who was sitting in the same spot by the door. Anansi thanked him for his hospitality and returned home. The next day, Anansi went to the house of the old man again, ate his fill. Still, the old man said nothing to Anansi. On the third day Anansi did this, the spider brought his eldest daughter to the old man's house. "Good morning, sir," Anansi greeted. "Since you have been so kind to me, I have brought my beautiful daughter who wants to be a cook. I will give you her to you as my wife, as your wife," said Anansi. And he turned to his daughter. "Here is a wedding ring. Now go into the house and fix your father a nice plate of food." The old man still said nothing. The next day, Anansi got up early. He headed for the old man's house. The old man had not moved and was still sitting by the door. Anansi and his said good morning and entered the house. He called for his daughter, but she did not answer. He knew that she liked hide and seek, so he looked in every closet. He then checked under the bed, although he knew that it was a dangerous hiding place. He looked into the icebox, but he could not find her. Anansi searched all over the house, but he was not able to find his daughter. He thought of one place that he had not looked. "I know where she is. She's hiding in the oven," he said, as he opened the door to the stove's oven. Anansi jumped back, for in the oven lay his daughter's wedding ring. Anansi rushed outside and grabbed the old man by the collar. "Where is my daughter?" he shouted. Finally, the old man spoke in a deep, raspy voice. "Do you know who I am?" he said slowly, chewing on every word that escaped his throat. "Yes," Anansi said, "you are my son-in-law." "Ha, your son-in-law," the old man rasps. "My name is Death, and you came looking for me. I did not invite you into my house. To add insult to injury, you brought me your ugly daughter, so I ate her. Now I'm going to have you for lunch," Brother Death said as he grabbed Anansi by the shirt. Anansi tore the buttons from his shirt, slipped out of it, and ran for his life. He ran as fast as he could in the belief that he could easily outdistance an old man like Brother Death. However, where Anansi turned, Death was right behind him. Finally, out of desperation, Anansi lunged for a tree limb and climbed as high as he could. To his surprise, Brother Death did not follow Anansi up the tree. Death could not climb. Brother Death picked up a rock, an old shoe, anything that he could find, and threw them at Anansi. They all missed. Death could not throw either. He soon ran out of things to throw. Therefore, he ran around the tree in search of any missile. Once he took his eyes off Anansi, the frightened spider jumped off the tree and bolted for his home. As he neared his house, Anansi shouted out to his wife, "Aso, grab the children and climb up the ceiling. Death is after me." "What did you say, Anansi?" his wife asked. "I said, grab the children and climb up to the ceiling," Anansi cried. "You said what to do with the potato peelings?" his wife asked. "I said, oh, never mind," Anansi cried in frustration. He quickly rushed into his house, grabbed his wife and children, and climbed up into the ceiling with them. "Grab hold of a wooden beam and hold on tight," he shouted. As Brother Death rushed in the door, a Nazi and his family were safely clinging to a beam in the ceiling. Brother Death calmly picked up the burlap bag, pulled up a chair, sat down under the dangly spider family, and crossed his legs. Half an hour passed, and Anansi's youngest son said to his father, "Oh, Papa, my hands are hurting me. I can't hold on any longer. Hold on, son, for if you fall, Death is going to get you," Anansi said to his child. However, the boy could not hold on any longer. Therefore, he fell. Death caught the boy and opened the burlap bag. "It is your father I want, not you." Then placed the child into the burlap bag. Soon, another one of Nazi's daughters cried to her father, "Papa, please, my hands are tired. I'm going to fall." "Fall and Death is going to get you," a Nazi answered. His daughter fell, and Death placed her in the burlap bag with her brother. "I don't want you, I want your father," Death spoke again. Soon, Anansi's other daughter and son fell. So did his wife, also. Finally, Anansi's own hands became tired. First, the left hand froze and lost its grip. However, Anansi held on tight with only his right hand. He exercised the frozen left hand in hope of using it to relieve the right hand. Anansi's mind began to race. "Brother Death," he called, "I am so fat from eating all your food that if I fall, I will just splatter into pieces. There will not be enough of me to put in that bag. You will only have enough meat to make spider burgers. However, if you go into the kitchen, you will find a barrel of flour. Get the barrel and set it under me so the flour cushion the fall. I won't splatter. I will just be battered." Death exhaled, rubbing his chin, and smiled, showing all his 37 and a half teeth. "Kentucky fried spider for dinner, eh? Or maybe I can make delicious spicy jerk spider from Anansi and his family." Anansi figured that the flour barrel was so heavy that it would take 4 men to lift it. This would give him time to escape. As Brother Death went into the kitchen, Anansi was about to let go and dropped from the ceiling. However, in a flash, Death was back under Anansi with the flour barrel. Anansi had underestimated Brother Death's strength. As Brother Death wobbled the barrel from side to side, he bent over the barrel to make sure that it was exactly under Anansi. The cutting spider dropped on the top of the old man's head, ducking his face into the flour. The flour bath temporarily blinded Death. A Nazi jumped off Death's head, released his family, and they ran for their lives. Death has never caught a Nazi, the spider. That is why there are Nazi stories to this day. When you see spider webs on the ceiling, it belongs to a Nazi. He is still trying to get away from Death.